We're continuing Mishlei. We're up to what's called the 11th chapter, the 13th Pasuk. And our class tonight was dedicated in honor of the bride, Eliza Shena Bat Yosef Bezalel HaKohen. Her chassan blesses her and we bless them. She found a good catch, and Bezat Hashem, they should have much blessing in their life. The Shechina should be constant in their home, and there should be Simcha, Shalva, Ahava, Achva, and Re'ut, Lo'olam, Lo'olmei Olamim. We're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel, Holech Rachil, Megale Sod, V'Neman Ruach, Mechase Davar. This is a phenomenal Pasuk. This is a Pasuk that's scary. This is a Pasuk that teaches us so much about life, and it's so hard to implement. The Pasuk says, you reveal a secret that's like you went and slandered the person. Holech rachil megaleh sod. A person who reveals a secret, that's like a person who, holech rachil, he went and he slandered the person, he went and spoke badly about the person. So you'll say, I didn't slander, I just let the cat out of the bag, I just let go of the secret a little bit. No. The Pasuk teaches us the weight, the importance, our responsibility when someone entrusts us with a secret. And I think this is a very, very, very difficult thing to fulfill. It's something everyone has to work on. And it requires sensitivity, because sometimes people don't tell us what's a secret. The Gemara says, why does it say, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Lemor? Hashem said to Moshe, say over. To teach us that if someone tells you something and he doesn't tell you Lemor, he doesn't tell you to tell it over, so then you're not supposed to tell it over. Yeah. Minayin. Where the Gemara says, how do you know that if someone tells you something, it's the Baal Tomar, the assumption is don't tell it over, unless they tell you, go tell. I think it's a Gemara in Yuma. I think so. The Gemara darshans it from there. So, that's very hard. People are not accustomed to living this way. Very often I have situations where a person will tell me something, and then they'll talk to my wife, assuming she knows. If you didn't tell me to tell my wife, how could I tell her? People tell me when they're expecting. They didn't tell me to tell my wife. How could I tell her? Sometimes we have couples we're davening for years. And then the guy comes and asks a certain halachic questions from which it's obvious that his wife is expecting, but he's not telling anyone yet. So I have to be quiet, and that's very hard. You know, I see my wife still davening for them, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and I know she's expecting. Okay, but they didn't tell me. They don't give me permission to tell her. I can't tell her. But it's even harder when someone tells you a secret. We all have this Yetzer Hara to let it slip. And the Pasuk is giving us a perspective. One who reveals a secret is equated with a slanderer. And the fact that a slanderer does it with the intent to do harm, and we like to think that when I just revealed the secret, I didn't really mean to do harm. So that's exactly the perspective. That's what the Pasuk's telling you. It doesn't work that way. They entrusted you with the secret, so then you should know. The revelation of the secret carries that weight. V'ne'eman ruach, one whose spirit is faithful to Hashem, mechase daval, will keep things under wraps. V'ne'eman ruach mechase daval. Why do you have to be faithful to Hashem? Because very often when we reveal a secret, we like to tell ourselves, I only told him. I didn't really reveal the secret. No, they told me, so I told him. No. V'ne'eman ruach. If one's soul is faithful to Hashem, so then mechaseh davar, you keep things covered. Don't assume I only told him. So I always say, this is what we should expect of ourselves, but we have to be prepared for the fact that people don't live up to this. And you know my rule, that if you told your wife a secret, then you told it to her knowing that everyone else is going to know it. Ah, you'll tell me, but she promised, and I asked her, and right, but I told you, she's telling everyone. End of story, your fault. You told her, that's why everyone knows. There's a big problem with keeping secrets from your wife. There's a big problem because women feel that secrets represent intimacy. Just as speech represents connection, so then intimate speech is a secret. And if you share a secret with me, then obviously you're intimate with me. And if you keep your secrets to yourself, then obviously you're not intimate with me. So the best way to keep a secret from the wife is that the wife shouldn't know you have the secret. But once she knows, that's very hard. Halachically, no. She doesn't have a right to know things that weren't that you weren't authorized to tell her. Sorry. There. One of my teachers told me that I should make a condition with people when they talk to me that don't tell me if you don't want my wife not to know, because it is so important for a woman to know. Because that's the nature of every woman. So then some are of the approach that you should tell everyone. If you want to talk to me, it's on the condition that I could also tell my wife. I didn't see that to be the way of my teachers in general. Meaning my teachers in general were very careful not to tell their wives. Rav Pesin's Zatzal, his almana, told me that it was obvious that that she wouldn't know much of what was going on because that's part of the trust that people give a rabbi when they talk to him. And that's the way I saw also with other rabbis that I learned by, that their wives really did not know. There were all kinds of really juicy questions that came up, and no, their wives didn't know, because by what right do you share it with someone else? If someone entrusted you, that's you, that's not someone else. Okay. Why should it be any different? There's no heter to go and tell your wife lashon hara, and there's no heter to go and reveal to your wife other people's secrets. I shouldn't say there's no heter. Obviously, there are circumstances where there is a heter. You know, if someone reveals to you that they're going to commit suicide and you need your wife's help to stop them from committing suicide, obviously you're going to go and tell your wife and try to figure out a plan together to save them from committing suicide. Right, so it's not right to say there's no heter, but in general, there isn't an assumed heter to share with your wife anyone else's secret or anyone else's lashon hara. Anyone else's, anything that would constitute lashon hara. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Be'en tachbulot yipol am. When there isn't a plan, then the nation falls. Unfortunately, I think that that's part of the issue we have today. Barak said, you guys probably wouldn't believe what Barak said.
Which Barak?
What? Ehud Barak, you heard of that? He said, well, we can't get any peace process moving, so we might as well just give the land away without a peace process. So at first I thought it was a misquote. When someone quoted it to me, I said, it must be someone setting him up. Can't be such a foolish statement came out of his mouth. But no, then I was told that was, he said it. Right, so the
Palestinian...
That's
not acceptable. You just can't give it to us.
The en tachbulot yipol am, when people don't have a plan... So then, what? Okay. Be'en tachbulot yipolam. So then the nation can't stand up. How could they stand up if there's no plan? Utshua berov yoetz. But if people think and plan, so then you can have a salvation. Salvation is not only about your military capacity, it's also about your planning. If you plan things well, so then you succeed. The Targum learns over here that the idea is, do you have leadership? The Ein Tachbulot, when there's no leadership to make a plan to guide the people, so that's when the nation falls. You have to have a leader standing there and guiding them. And as powerful as a nation is, they have to have a leader. That was part of the victory of the Persians and Medes against the Babylonians when Belshazzar was murdered that night. So then they had an easy time taking over Babylon. That was part of the victory of Hanukkah, that they assassinated the general of the Greeks, and so they were able to be victorious once they attacked. As powerful as a nation is, you need someone there with a plan. Someone has to guide what's going on. Pasuk Titvam. Ra Yeroa ki Arav Zar. Ra Yeroa. Destroyed shall be destroyed. Destruction upon destruction. Ki Arav Zar. Because a person signed as a co-signer for a stranger. Don't co-sign. The destruction that can come from it is terrible. This sonei tokeim boteach. Someone who hates handshakes. He hates coming into deals. He can be confident. Don't co-sign. Ra yeroa, destruction upon destruction comes upon a person ki arav zar, because he co-signed a stranger. So you'll ask me, what do you mean? My best friend, my roommate who I met here at Machon Meir 3 days ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, he needs to sign on an apartment, he's getting married. If I don't co-sign for him, he won't get the apartment. So I'll tell you what I said. When we go to sign on an apartment, they ask us for a co-signer, I say, I can't bring you a co-signer. I won't co-sign for anyone else, so I can't ask anyone else to co-sign for me. You want? I'll give you head checks. You want? I'll give you cash as a security. But I won't get anyone else to co-sign. And if not, I'll have to go to a different apartment. Why? Because I'm not about to co-sign anyone else. I have a tradition from my great-grandfather. Never co-sign. If you have the money, give the money. If you don't have the money, why are you co-signing? But the co-sign means that you don't know when they'll come back to haunt you. You don't know when the person's going to come back and say, you know, you co-signed for this student, for that student, now they didn't pay rent, you pay up. No, don't co-sign. You want to co-sign for your kids? Fine. Just like you'd pay the rent for the kids, I could hear you'll co-sign for your kids. But my tradition from my great-grandfather is don't co-sign. He was a big businessman, one of the wealthy people in town. He always said, you have the money, give the money. You don't have the money, you have no business co-signing. Ra yeroa, destruction upon destruction can come upon a person, ki arav zar, because he co-signed for a stranger. So we often think we know the person, we can trust the person. What do you really know? The sonei tokim, the attitude that a person should have, says Shlomo HaMelech, is a person should hate deals in which he obligates himself. A big businessman once told me, every deal you enter, you're entering because you think it's lucrative. Everyone that opened a business, everyone that entered a deal did it because they thought it would be lucrative. No one enters a deal thinking they're going to lose, right? And yet, many of the deals do not succeed. So what's the definition of a good deal? A deal is defined by how quick you can get out of it. How quick of an out do you have? Because the profit margin you think you're going to make? Nope. You're not the first person to think you discovered America. A lot of people thought they had the deal of the century. I remember, was it a year ago? Gold had hit $1,900. Everyone said, it's going up, up, up. Okay, where'd it go from there? Lost $400, right? I spoke to someone 2-3 weeks ago. When the Dow Jones Industrial hit the 4-year high. So the guy told me, look at how good the Dow Jones is doing. I said, I don't know, I would sell, I wouldn't buy. He said to me, why? I said, it's at a 4-year high. How much higher do you think it's going to go? He said, you never know. Isn't that nice? The market always surprises you. Okay, yes, the market surprises you. I don't know if he bought or not. I told him not to. What?
And what if he bought gold 7 years ago?
Then you'd be very well off now. Right? But You never know. There are always reasons to believe this is the deal of the century. This is the greatest thing. I remember they were saying gold is not going to stop till it hits $5,000, and they might be right. By the end of the year, it might be $2,000-$2,500. But you don't know. So a deal is gauged by how fast can you get out of it. How much are you obligated? You co-sign, you're obligated. So ne'tokim botech. A person can be confident when he knows he hates giving handshakes. He hates obligating himself beyond what he can see. Eshetchen titmoch kavod. How do you translate the word chen? Yehuda, how do they translate the word chen? What? They say grace. Pasuk tes zayin. Grace. Okay. Eshet chin titmoch kavod ve'aritzim yitmechu osher. Eshet chin, the wife of grace, and there are multiple understandings here. The Targum says the pious wife titmoch kavod. So titmoch could mean she is supportive of, or she is adjacent to honor, because she is a person of grace. So then honor keeps following her. Ve'aritzim yitmechu osher. Whereas people whose strength does not stem from their grace, it stems from their physical strength or their political strength. So they always want to be near the pot. They always want to be near the wealthy. Yitmechu osher. Now, I have an interpretation which I don't see here in the commentaries, but I think the words lend themselves to this interpretation, that eshet chen, when a woman has chen, so then titmoch kavod, so then she is supportive of honor. She isn't in competition with her husband. She's supportive that he should have the honor. Whereas aritzim, when life revolves around the question of power, so then yitmechu osher. So then her support, her push in the marriage is going to be in the direction of wealth. It's a question of where one's focus is. Okay, there are Rashi learns it's talking about Am Yisrael, and that Am Yisrael's focus is the honor of Hashem and Hashem's Torah, and Aritzim Yitmechu Osher, the people whose focus is on strength in the world, so then they're always focused on being close to wealth. This is the question: do you go live in a city where the main street is called Broadway, or do you go live in a street where the main street is called Chazon Ish, Yechezkel, Yafo? So the question is, what do you want to be close to? Eishet chen titmoch kavod. Person should try and have his focus on being close to the honor of Hashem, the honor of the Torah. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Gomel nafsho ish chasid. This pasuk also, Chazal had many interpretations on this pasuk. Gomel nafsho. A person who wants to do good to his soul, whoever wants to deal his soul a good hand, ish chasid. So then, that's a man who does kindness. Part of being a kind person is caring for ourselves. Gomel nafsho ish chasid. The two go hand in hand. We sometimes think, if you're a good person, so then you don't care about yourself. No. If you're a good person, you care about yourself and you care about others. And a person who destroys himself, who doesn't eat well, doesn't take good care of himself, so that's a person who is also cruel. Part of being kind is that I'm kind to myself too. That I care, I exist. It goes hand in hand. It's part of being a balanced person. Now, she'er literally means an extension of a person's flesh, but she'er could also mean his relative. You want to gauge a person, see how they treat their relatives. That was one of the clues I used when I was dating. I listened very closely how the girl described the people who were close to her. You can learn a lot about a person from how they talk about the people that are close to them. So it could be their mother, their father, their brother, their sister, their roommate, their teacher. Whoever's close to them, listen to how they describe them. A person who can be cruel or destructive to those that are close to them, so now you know you're dealing with a cruel person. We've said a lot today. That's each of these points, guys. I feel like we're covering too many concepts in one night. This is we discussed the importance of being faithful to secrets. We discussed the importance of having a plan, the importance of leadership, the importance of not co-signing, the importance of not obligating yourself beyond what you can see, the importance of wanting someone else's honor, the importance of not putting a focus on wealth. We discussed the fact that a person who's good onto others also has to know to be good to themselves. You want to gauge a person, look at how they treat those that are closest to them. I think this is getting too heavy for one night. We're going to pause here, and to be continued next time, Bezat Hashem.